Don't take any more calls for a minute. We have in the bookstore, and many of you have purchased them, a paperback copy of C.S. Lewis' Screwtape Letters. Screwtape was an old, calloused demon who had a rookie demon under his mentorship. And these letters are a collection of letters imagined by C.S. Lewis from Screwtape, guiding his young rookie demon on the rights and wrongs of the way he was doing his job. For example, moving to one I want to read right now, this is the gist of the way the exchanges go. My dear Wormwood, now that's the rookie, Wormwood, I note with grave displeasure that your patient, as I preached this morning, if you're not being delivered, acting in faith, following Christ with His Spirit energizing you, you're under the devil's control. He's not omnipotent. He doesn't have all power. He's not omniscient. He's not all-knowing. He's not omnipresent. And strictly speaking, there's the devil and then his hierarchy, demons. And we've seen many of their categorical names as rulers, archos, authorities, exousias. More recently, the elements of this world. A personal hierarchy of fallen angels who went down when he went down. And we read in Ezekiel and Isaiah of his fall. 2 words in the Hebrew for lifting up. There's a word where God says he lifts up your head, or we lift up arms in praise. There's another one where its root is a bird that soars. It's also used of fancy and pride and imagination, where you sort of soar out of reach. In the scriptures I read this morning about Satan, Lucifer, the word is gobah, the one where like a bird soars, he says, I will lift no limits. I'll lift myself. Lifted up in pride. And down he came. And there's only one devil, Satan. That old serpent, as they referred to him, but really he just possessed the serpent to do his evil deed. And was not recognized as Satan when he began to speak through the serpent. And the rest of them are demons. But it's long been a habit to broadly apply the word devil. And there's enough of them, though he's not omnipresent. That means the devil isn't everywhere. He's not in New York and Los Angeles at the same time. God is by His Spirit, and that's one of the mysteries we cannot explain. We take by faith on the authority of the one who has vindicated His claims. But Satan doesn't have that power. He's not everywhere. He's not all-knowing. He isn't all-powerful. He had to ask God's permission to attack Job. But he's got enough demons to have at least one assigned to every person operating on this earth at any given time. And the demoniac of the Gadarenes had legions in him. 200 million are chained in the air about Iraq and Iran. They'll be released during the tribulation. The so-called hornet demons out of the abyss will be released during the tribulation. But in the meantime, there's enough running around for him to have one to assign, and more than one to assign to every person on this earth. And he puts his troops where the need is as he views it. And this fictional account by Lewis, that one they're assigned to is their patient. My dear Wormwood, I note with grave displeasure that your patient has become a Christian. Do not indulge the hope that you will escape the usual penalties. Indeed, in your better moments, I trust you would hardly even wish to do so. In the meantime, we must make the best of the situation. There is no need to despair. Hundreds of these adult converts have been reclaimed after a brief sojourn in the enemy's camp. Now, you got to keep a mindset when you read this, because the devil is our father below. Jesus is the enemy. The ones the demons are working on are patients. There's no need to despair. Hundreds of these adult converts have been reclaimed after a brief sojourn in the enemy's camp and are now with us. All the habits of the patient, both mental and bodily, are still in our favor. That's a pretty good one. And I will go to it later. I want to skip to the one I wanted to read going into the 9 o'clock hour. He has some funny names. Slumgub is one of them that he's always talking about. Here's another introduction. I'm trying to find the one about the devil in disguise. My dear Wormwood, it seems to me that you take a great many pages to tell a very simple story. The long and the short of it is that you have let the man slip through your fingers. The situation is very grave, and I really see no reason why I should try to shield you from the consequences of your inefficiency. Remember, as Satan withdrew in the wilderness, the King James says, the Greek has it like a boxer backing up for an opening having been thwarted, ready to pounce at the first opening. You're on target. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against these demonic forces. And they don't sleep. And you cannot stand against them. I don't care who you are, if you don't put on the whole armor of God. Spiritual weaponry. You cannot even have the Spirit in you without faith, and faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I don't care who you are. If the Word of God is not being planted in you regularly, if you're not feeding on that which the Bible calls manna from heaven, you're not going to have any strength to fight. And they're after you all the time. The long and the short of it, Wormwood, is you've let the man slip through your fingers. The situation is very grave, and I really see no reason why I should try to shield you from the consequences of your inefficiency. A repentance and renewal of what the other side, that's Christ's side, call grace, on the scale which you describe, is a defeat of the first order. It amounts to a second conversion, and probably on a deeper level than the first. So now, Wormwood, you got a tougher job than the one you were doing, which you lost. I'm too close to find the one I want to station break, so get on the telephone and I'll have the one I'm looking for right after station break. Okay. You don't need to take any more calls. I found what I was looking for, and it's very brief. I suggest as many of you as have an interest pick up C.S. Lewis, The Screwtape Letters. I don't know if there's anybody here from the bookstore or not, but I see a price on this. It says $4.22. Is that correct? Can somebody tell me? How is it?
$5.
$5. I don't know where this $4.22 came from. $5. Well, we'll ship them postage free to everybody that orders tonight. Don't make the check out to me. Don't make it out to the church, and don't mix it with a contribution. A wholly owned, tax-paying subsidiary sells the books, Dolores Press. They'll put an address on the screen in a moment, or you can call any voice of faith and they'll tell you how to make the check out. $5 for those that are interested. C.S. Lewis, call the most original Christian writer of our century. But this one has relevance to what we've been teaching over the last several Sundays about Satan's tactics. Screwtape, the old season demon, is taking Wormwood, the rookie, to task. And you can drop the phone number. My dear Wormwood, I wonder you should ask me whether it is essential to keep the patient in ignorance of your own existence. That question, at least for the present phase of the struggle, has been answered for us by the High Command. Our policy for the moment is to conceal ourselves. Of course, this has not always been so. We are really faced with a cruel dilemma. When the humans disbelieve in our existence, we lose all the pleasing results of direct terrorism, and we make no magicians. On the other hand, when they believe in us, we cannot make them materialists and skeptics, at least not yet. I have great hopes that we shall learn in due time how to emotionalize and mythologize their science to such an extent that what is in effect a belief in us, though not under that name, will creep in while the human mind remains closed to belief in the enemy. The life force, the worship of sex, and some aspect of psychoanalysis may here prove useful. If once we can produce our perfect work, the materialist magician, the man not using but veritably worshiping what he vaguely calls forces while denying the existence of spirits, the end of the war will be in sight. But in the meantime, we must obey our orders. I do not think you will have much difficulty in keeping the patient in the dark. The fact that devils are predominantly comic figures in the modern imagination will help you. If any faint suspicion of your existence begins to arise in his mind, suggest to him a picture of something in red tights and persuade him that since he cannot believe in that, it's an old textbook method of confusing them, he therefore cannot believe in you, and we can do our work in disguise. Get on the telephone, and when you finish the calls of this song, I'm going back to G. Campbell Morgan. This is C.S. Lewis, Screwtape Letters, enlightening and entertaining reading. Okay, no more calls. No, I'm saying it's okay. We've been working on the sound in here, not out there, but in here. I had the engineer in here, and I was trying to tell him it's okay. And he thought I meant up. Till I die, I will never learn the language of engineers. G. Campbell Morgan. The Problems of the Religious Life. All I've been doing is reading what he had to say. re-examining, as I said this morning, have I been leading you wrong? That's a serious question to me. If I've been leading you wrong, I've been honestly wrong. But more than that, it wasn't conceived in my spirit, my independent, rebellious, doubting spirit was bent by the truth, captured by the resurrection. There isn't anybody out there in the clutches of Satan that doesn't think they're right. And this is the generation captured by their education. Truth is that which works for you. Value is that which satisfies you. And each man becomes an island to himself, capturing the now moment, squeezing what satisfaction you can get. With some mythical hope that God will understand and forgive. No, He won't. He doesn't want most people. Jesus said you can't even begin to understand. You can't even start as a learner, which is what disciples mean, if you don't understand the parable of the sower. And in the parable of the sower, He points out, He couched His truth in parables, lest some would hear and understand, see and perceive, and be converted. God is not a marshmallow. He's not some weak, anemic, hungry for friends, ruler of the universe, who will let you write the terms of the relationship. I have said 10,000 times in my ministry, and I say it again tonight, if a person can walk in and shake the foundations of the resurrection that have captured me, I got a lot of living left, and I want nothing to do with this Christianity. I read in the paper this Jesus study group who decided the resurrection didn't occur. Not one shred, not one word in the article of these good scholars in all other respects, but they remind me of my prof, Lex Miller. Their starting point as they vote on what are true words of Jesus and what aren't starts with a presupposition. It's not based on scholarship. It starts with probability. And if it's a miracle being reported, it probably didn't happen. Therefore, the majority vote, that's not in the Scripture. They're still demythologizing, as the, quote, higher criticism people did. Christianity began with the proclamation of a miracle to a scattered flock living in failure. And when that can be disproved, I'm out of here. I know the hours of agony as I move from Jesus to His Word. The years I spent taking Scroggie's Guide to the Gospels and living with the Gospels and the teaching of Jesus, and then his use of the Old Testament and the authority he placed on certain books. Then I got hooked with the book itself. The intricate intertwining of the harmony that could not have been conceived or brought about by man's hand. I built a ministry all these years on the repeatables of God. Not some verse that's convenient to me. What the Word says over and over and over again. I don't think I know. I absolutely know. As the Scriptures teach, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That we're all in a state of sin. And we're in a state of sin not just because we fall short, which is the hamartia meaning of sin, but because there's a bent of rebellion in our nature. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the pastor's not exempted, nor any other person in this world. And as Reinhold Niebuhr has pointed out, we're not content to sin. We have to convince ourselves that our sin is really not sin after all. And the only way you can do that is do what Peter did, walk afar off. Go join yourself to the enemy. And as I said this morning, the enemy wasn't out there carrying placards, crucify Christ. They weren't driving nails in his hands. Indeed, one who drove nails in his hands was converted, the centurion saying, surely this was the Son of God. If you're not for me, you're against me, Jesus said. If you're not joined with him in faith, in taking his word, committed to his way, you're against him. Sorry, it's a us and them mentality. And if you were of the world, turn me up a little up there. If you were of the world, leave it right there. If you were of the world, the world would love its own. You want to be embraced by the world? Turn your back on Christ's calling. They'll welcome you back like this letter to Wormwood. Get them back out of the enemy's clutches. Men love darkness better than light because their deeds are evil. When in doubt, go to the Word. You'll find that God's not going to let you do anything you want and then sentimentally forgive you for it. To whom much is given, much is required. And those that God has picked, you don't have any choice in the matter. He will either get you willingly, or if not willingly, by breaking you, or he'll discard you. Your spirit will not always strive with man. And there are pleasures in sin for a season, but the end thereof is a way of death. Now, every time I come to any personal crises in my ministry, every time Satan hits me from whatever point, I take the compass out. I don't go ask somebody else's opinion. I take the compass out. God's Word.
For more of the teaching, please turn the tape over. Thank you.